Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
The Lord is good. Amen. And there's nothing greater than to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. So we welcome you, all of you, this morning and everyone watching on social media. Thank you for being with us. You're about to be more blessed because of the word of God. This morning, church, today is a day where we celebrate Palm Sunday as we get ready. Starts today, Holy Week. Amen. Holy Week. And it's always a reminder of who is Jesus. Why did he come? And as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we celebrate his triumph entry. Amen. When he came into Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is exactly 1 week before his resurrection. So this morning, I want to share with you a little bit on the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1. You guys are very quiet, church. Wake up. Amen. Hallelujah. I like a loud church. Amen. Where you praise the Lord. We're not, with all due respect, we're not in a funeral. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the only reason why, church, we praise, we sing, we shout, is because the Lord saved us. Amen. We were one time lost. We were dead, but we were found, and now we are alive. Amen. And it's only because of the grace of God. So in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it reads, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them." Verse 4. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9. "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying," what, notice that it says they cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city, notice what it says, all the city was what? Was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. When we read in the Bible, Jesus already knew, he knew. He is God, he knows everything. He knew about the religious leaders that they were about to arrest him. And not only arrest him, but also condemn him. Once again, from this time, there was another week before he was going to be crucified. But as Jesus, he knew his mandate, he knew his calling. He knew he had to fulfill prophecy, what was written about him. And he had the courage to enter Jerusalem. In a very public way. Jesus was about to enter the holy city. And when you read here in Matthew 21, it speaks about that it might be fulfilled. Here's an example, which was spoken by the prophet saying, and they're talking about, the Bible is talking about in the book of Zechariah, where the Bible says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Look at the words, your king is coming to you. Lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, the first thing, church, the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke 19:10 that Jesus had came to save the lost. And now was the time that Jesus had come to save the lost. Matter of fact, specifically the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. How many are grateful this morning that the Lord found you? Hallelujah. Amen. That the Lord has found you, because at one time, everyone has a different testimony. Everyone has a different story. But at the end of the day, you and I were lost. But now, by the grace of God, we are saved. Now we are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, church. That's why, don't stay quiet, church. Give them glory and give them praise, because he is worthy of all praise and glory and honor forevermore. Notice the who are those who were lost. Jesus wants to receive everyone that is lost, church. If you're here this morning, you can be in church, but you can still be lost. Jesus wants you to receive him as his Savior. Then you got the what. Jesus wants with those who receive him, because he not only wants to save you, he wants to, the what is, He wants to have a relationship with you. See, it's so easy. Many times we have better relationships with people, human beings, or other things, rather than having a true relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Then you got the word where. Jesus wants to go with you. Did you hear me? Jesus wants to go in your heart. Jesus wants to go with you in your car. Jesus wants to go to your home. And let me say something else. Jesus will go where he has to go to get you out of there. Hallelujah. Then you got the when. Jesus wants you to receive him. See, I'm going to say it again. The when. Jesus, hallelujah, wants you to receive him immediately. ASAP. Quickly. Now. Amen. Jesus wants you to receive him now. What are you waiting for? Come on, church, don't stay quiet on me. What? And if you saved, church, this morning, ask yourself, hey, I want a better relationship with my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to go deeper with my Savior. I want to have a solid relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, I don't know, church, how is your heart this morning? How is your life this morning? Amen. I don't know where your heart is at. I do know that the Bible says that wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Hallelujah. See, if you can be for real this morning, if you can just say, you know what? I'm here, but my heart is over there. Come on, church. You can always tell, hallelujah, wherever a person is at or spends most of his time at or certain, that's where their heart is. I know it's going to get good this morning. And thank you for your enthusiasm. See, people get it twisted. Sometimes they say, you know what, we're just going to stay quiet because that way he'll think that he's boring. But no. And then you got others that say, no, it's because when they're quiet, it's because God is speaking. Amen, man. And then you got others, no, where if they're shouting, they're saying amen, it's because they like the message. At the end of the day, church, as long as you preach the gospel, you preach the truth, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. So don't ever think, church, amen. I've been this in a while already. If you're loud, not loud, we're just saying it because for you, for your own good. Amen. That you praise, you worship God, hallelujah. And then you got the why. Jesus, again, wants you to receive him so that he can be with you, so that you can connect with him. And how? So that you can receive him, hear me, church, joyfully. See, some of you, let me tell you, I'm going to remind you again. Anytime you disconnect from God, we start searching the wrong places, thinking that we're going to find joy right there. Let me tell you something. You should know by now that that's not the case. Did you hear me? You should know by now that you searching over here, or if I skip this and I go over here, this is what I'm looking for. This is where I'm gonna, you know, have happiness. But church, let me tell you something. The one and the only one that's gonna always fulfill your life with joy, his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hear me, church. He's going to be the one, because let me tell you something. People were always going to fail you. The people that you depend on, the people you go to, they're only there temporarily, church. Amen? But see, we forget that Jesus has been with you this whole time, even when you left him. Even when you and I departed from him, Jesus, hear me, Jesus is still around. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that your sin is okay, but at the same time, your sin doesn't scare God away. See, Jesus is here this morning, and he's calling you home, and he's calling you to get closer to him. And some of you have dropped the ball. Now you just got to pick it up. I'm going to say it, some of you have dropped the ball. See, you're trying to dribble, but you can't dribble. And some of you this morning, church, don't forget, hear me, where God took you out from. Let me go further. Don't forget that without Jesus, Jesus says you can't do nothing without me. Let's just say, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be getting these crazy thoughts in my mind, in my life, that nobody likes me, that, you know, I want to take my life away. You know, I'm not worthy. You know, I've messed up so many times, you know, and all this stuff, you know, that the enemy bombards your mind with all these darts. Church, no, but in Christ, there is peace, there is hope, there is joy, there is victory, there is blessings. And in Christ, I mean, it's like, you know, God tells you, get up once again, keep pushing forward, keep moving forward. This is the life that I'm giving you. Abundant life. And that is the reason why this is the place, church. He enters Bethphage at Mount Olives. Why is Mount Olives important, church? The Bible teaches Mount Olives that the Bible, this is the place where Jesus, hear me, visited three times in the last week. Jesus visits Mount Olives. And every time he would visit Mount Olives, in his last week, church, you find out that God did great things. Because that was the place, or a place that you and I should have, is the place of prayer. Are you hearing me this morning? See, church, Jesus, knowing he has a week left, he visits Mount Olives three times. What does that mean? That every time he was what? Praying. But see, we do it the other way around. We don't take, you see, church, pause and pray to your Father. And the reason why, because he knew what was coming. Let me tell you, some of you already know, you have an idea that you have to pray right now, church. Because some of you, it doesn't take a science mentality, church, to know that right now it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Because if we don't pray, church, things can get ugly. And if they do ugly, but we're in prayer, guess what? God is going to help you. Jesus knew he had a week left, but he still prayed at Mount Olives. And the Bible says that the Lord sent two disciples, as we're reading. Now, knowing, I want you to see this, church. Because the people, they're waiting. They're thinking, hey, we're waiting for a king, a man of war. That's who they're waiting for. But see, we're going to find out that those same people that were shouting, Hosanna, save us now, are the same people that abandoned Jesus. Isn't it funny that, you know, we shout one day, Jesus, save us now, but then later on we abandon him. And Jesus, he says that they found, or the Bible says, you're going to find yourself a donkey tied and a colt. See, a donkey and a colt, the donkey was the mother. The colt is the baby donkey. A donkey that they said, a king would only get on a small donkey, or let's just say a baby donkey, that had never been used. Amen? That had never been used. And what's powerful about this is that it also teaches us that Jesus, even though he was human, he was God. The donkey, the small colt, would be quiet. It wasn't going to go crazy because he's God. All he has to say, lay colt, just chill. Amen? He's all powerful. God. And that's what we find here in the Bible. And it says, loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, you shall say the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. See, there's another way that it teaches his human form when he says the Lord need of them. See, he needed something. And immediately he will send them. So once again, Mount Olives, I want you to get this, place of prayer. In the Bible, the Mount of Olives was first known as a place of prayer. King David ascended. There's a scripture in the Bible, I think it's 1 Samuel 15:30, where it teaches us that King David ascended, the Bible says, to Mount Olives. And you know how he got to Mount Olives? The Bible says that he got there barefoot. In prayer. While attempting to escape from his son, Absalom. Because his son was mad at his dad. But then Jesus also prayed on Mount Olives the day before the crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that it was there that an angel comforted him. See, God sent an angel to bring comfort to Jesus. The next day he's going to be crucified. Let me tell you something, church. We talk a lot about prayer, but we don't do the prayer. But know that every time you pray, God will bring assistance. God will supply. You think God didn't know he was going to go on the cross of Calvary? Of course he did. He knew. You see, you don't think God knows what you're going to face tomorrow? Of course he does. See, but this is the time, church, where you really got to get spiritual. And it says right there in verse 2 again. Well, let's move on. Verse 4. All this was done that I might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. So you got the multitude. They're gathered around him. And once again, many of them thought, you know what, the king is here. He's going to set up the kingdom. But it wasn't the time yet. As we will continue to read right now. But in Matthew, right there in verse 8, it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees. That's where we celebrate Palm Sunday. And spread them on the road. You know, that's what they used to do before. And the Bible says right there in verse 8, when you read, and a very great multitude spread the clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went out before and those followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Which means save now. But see, Jesus wants to save now, but spiritually. How many know that God saves can save us from a lot of things? But what's most important is that your spirit gets saved. Amen? Where you have eternal life. Where you know you're going to heaven and you know you're going to spend the rest of your life for eternally. Where you know that your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. See, we don't want, like the multitude, we don't want just a Savior that's going to save us from things. You know, save my marriage. Nothing wrong with that. Save my house. Save my child. Save my daughter. Deliver me from this. Heal me from this. But see, and God can do all that. But God wants to save your spirit, your soul. Did you hear me, church, this morning? God wants your soul. God wants you. God wants to save you. God wants to change you around. He wants to transform you around. God wants to do something great in your life, church. I don't want just, you know, I don't want to just, you know, be saved from certain things, but I'm not saved myself. I want salvation. Why salvation? Salvation is knowing by faith that I'm solid. I'm saved. God is working in me. God is doing something in me. Salvation means that I'm getting closer to Jesus every day. Let me tell you something, church. If you say, you know what, I'm saved, but you're not getting closer to Jesus, but you're getting further from Jesus, you better check yourself. Check your heart. Hear me, church, this morning. Check your heart. Check your life. Where are my steps being guided? Where am I going? But if you're here this morning, church, and this morning you said, you know what? I want more of God. I want more of Jesus. I need to work in this area. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin. Praise God for that. That is a great sign that God is doing a work in you, church. But church, but at the same time, if you know where you wake up thinking, man, what did I do yesterday? That wasn't right. The Holy Spirit is also telling you something. You're walking away from me, son, daughter. You don't worship me like you used to worship me. You don't praise me like you used to praise me. You don't read my word like you used to read my word. Your heart is somewhere else. Hallelujah. I'm not priority in your life anymore. I'm not first. Now you put me last. Come on, church. This morning, let the Lord speak to you. God's not mad at you, church. God loves you, but he wants you to draw close to him. Why? Because he's not done with you yet. I said, God is not done with you yet. Hallelujah. Make that U-turn. Repent and come back to Jesus. Come back to the Father. Don't say nobody told me anything. Nobody warned me. Church, let me tell you something. God is warning you this morning. God is speaking to you this morning. God is speaking loud and clear to your life this morning. Do you hear me, church? It don't matter if you're a volunteer, if you're a leader, you're a pastor, whatever you are, God is being clear to your life this morning. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter, church. Doesn't matter if you have a title. It doesn't matter what you do in the church or not out or outside the church. What matters is what how you're living right now. What matters is, you know, how is your heart? Hallelujah. How is your life? How's your walk? Are you still living in sin? Or are you missing? Are you messing with sin little by little? That's how it starts. The great falls, they don't happen just overnight, which it can happen, but most likely it's just little by little. And we try to cover it up, church, in the church. Oh, as long as I show up, they're going to think I'm cool. But no, let me tell you something. No. I've always said that, and I'm going to say it a million times. You shall know them by their fruit. Their fruit. Their fruit. Look at a tree. If you tell me, hey, let me show you my tree. Look, this is my orange. This is an orange tree. But if I see apples, brother, no. Pastor, they're orange. No, they're apples. The tree don't lie. I said the tree doesn't lie. Amen. So when we say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I go to New Generation. The pastor, he's good. No, church, no. The real question is, no, how is your spiritual walk? How is your spiritual walk? But I have a ministry. I said, no, how is your spiritual walk? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are you when nobody's around, when nobody sees you, hallelujah, when it's just you and your little phone at 3 a.m? You used to put scriptures on social media. Now you put some other crazy stuff. We don't care about that. Show me where your heart is. Hallelujah. Stay more quiet. We're going to go longer. And you know, in Luke, it says in 1940, it says, he says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones are going to cry out. Let me tell you something, church. I'm going to say this. Look, if you don't want to cry out, you don't want to shout to Jesus, you don't want to serve Jesus, guess what? Somebody will be happily to do that. You don't want nothing with Jesus, somebody else wants Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, God called you. Don't fight it. See, some of you might, this morning, you're fighting it. Get over that and just surrender all to the Lord. Surrender all to the Lord, church. See, let me remind you, church. We like to fight it. We want the best of the both worlds. We want Jesus and we want the world. Let me tell you, the Bible doesn't teach that. And let me tell you, look, sometimes we can program ourselves. Look, if I could go to church and, you know, do this, but then I'll give 20%, just 20 to the world, you know. Nobody needs to know my life. Nobody needs to know what I do. Just, you know, 20% and the rest, you know, I'll just show. It doesn't work that way, Jerry. Either you're hot or cold. But not lukewarm. The Bible says he'll spit you out, lukewarm. Because you already know lukewarm doesn't, it's not a good taste. Amen? Lukewarm is not a good taste. But if it's hot, you drink a hot coffee, it's good. Hot tea, it's good. But if you drink cold water is good too. So this morning, church, you have to decide. You have to decide. And what's crazy about this, church, is that what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You want to go back to your old ways? You want to go back to where God delivered you? God set you free? Learn, church, to enjoy your... Let me see, when you spend time with the Lord, you're going to enjoy your walk with God. Your walk with God. You're not going to be in a rush. You're going to learn how to wait. Why? Because you're so in your fellowship with God. God is working in your life. God is working in your heart. God is cleansing you. Did you hear me? God is cleansing you. God is purifying you. Every time you're in the presence of God, he is purifying you. He is cleansing you. Hallelujah. He's removing everything that has to remove. But see, and that's the reason why, church, you're good, you're blessed, you're rejoicing. You know, you love the Lord, you fear God, you do everything that God is asking you to do. But when that's not happening, church, it can get a little bit ugly. Because there's no word, there's no presence, there's no nothing. And the thing is, church, and we don't see, sometimes I ask myself, church, Lord, how come it's so easy when we're not with you, we're not with you, we're not walking with you, we're not in your will. Why? And we see, I'm going to use this word, the consequences. We see what's growing. We're seeing the fruit and we don't like it. We don't like it. We see that the struggle is real. We see, you know, what's happening. We're seeing the results and we don't like it. And because we don't like it, we start getting mad. We start getting angry. And then we take it out on people. And then we blame the leader. We blame the pastor. We blame the church when it's none of that, church. What it is that you're not in touch with the Creator. You've disconnected yourself from God. And many times, hear me, church, hear me, what the Lord is saying. We want everything fast. We want everything, listen, we want everything fast and we want everything our way. Those two, fast and everything my way, because I'm not seeing what I want. I'm not seeing what I want. But then we cry and we break down and we tell people and ourselves. But now you got to ask yourself, it's none of that, it's me. It's me, it's the poor choices I make.
It's those decisions I make. It's those sins that I allow. It's not God. God, if you ask him, as you say, Lord, forgive me, God will forgive you. And God will help you. And God will give you the wisdom. But we get stubborn, church. Because just because all our lives we want everything our way. And because, see, here's the thing I was just telling Pastor Eddie. It's a different scenario. But just because we do one thing locally, we think that it's the same thing in the greater things. And many times, the way we grew up, the way we were since child, we were in junior high, high school, and all our lives, we think we could bring that into the kingdom of God and we want results. It doesn't work that way, church. It doesn't work that way. The only way it's going to work, it's God's written way. And we still don't get it. And you know why many times we do it? Because many times our pride, we want to prove people, I told you I was right. Be careful, church. With God, you're never going to be right. You're going to be wrong. Oh, yes, look. And just because you got away with something small, but in the eyes of God, he says that's sin. And we're real good. Hear me. We're very good. We compare ourselves with people. Don't ever do that, church. When we compare ourselves with people, you can get away. But if you compare yourself with the righteousness of God, oh, Rabbaka, we are wrong. We are in sin. We are far from God. So this morning, I'm going to finish already. Don't worry about it. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Everything's good. And you, brother, men, keep your word if you say you're going to take your wife to eat. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't use, you know, what that message that the pastor gave, I don't think so. We're going to eat at home. No. Take them out, eat, and talk about the message. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen, this morning. And I finish with this. It's crazy, church. It's crazy that we can see a Savior like they saw a Savior. But even at that, we don't recognize him for who he is. We don't recognize him for who he really is. We hear about it. See, I don't want to be church. Let us, may the Lord help us, as including myself, not just to hear about Jesus, not just to hear about NGC Church, not just to hear about what we do, but that we live for him. That we live for him. I don't want secondhand experiences. I want my own personal experiences with my Lord and Savior. I don't want to hear about that. God delivered me. God set me free. No, I want to experience that. I don't want to just live off testimonies all the days of my life. How God bless him, how God bless her, what God is doing in my family, what God is doing with my children, my ministry. No, I want to experience what God is doing in my life. Hallelujah. That he set me free, that he touched me, that he healed me, that he provided. That's what we want. It's
to experience him. Let's be about it. It's too much talking about it, church. Too much talking about it. Your story has a testimony. And this morning, may we recognize him as the Savior. Not just a king, but a Savior, that he saved us. God did something in me this morning. God did something in my heart. God did something in my life. And God's going to continue to do more and more and more. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.